Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
All right, Real Housewives of Potomac, episode 5. And what do you remember the most? I mean, that wig shift was the wig shift moved all around the world. Karen is quite a funny lady, and I want to talk about her and a bubble outing with all the women in the bubbles. Kind of crazy. Let's check this out. Start the show right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Well, that's how I would have felt if I was in the bubble, spinning round and around. It would have been a mess. And then also, also to let you know, though, this song, the reason we chose this is because I wanted to give some context. Karen Huger said she was 54 years old. And one of the things I like about this show specifically is that I like the more mature, elegant etiquette, class meets a good read. That's what I like about Potomac. And when I think about it with some of the newer cast and how young they are, I wanted to give context to how old Karen was and what was happening back in that day. So this song right here, You Spin Me Round, Right Round, Baby, Right Around, 1985 was when Karen was dipping and doing it at 21 years old. So to me, I felt like that was the perfect way to start the show. Anyways, what's up, you guys? Ronnie Jr., the after show is starting now. And if you're wondering where everyone's at, they are here. They're here in spirit, and they will be here in the studio as well. Nigeria is on our way. We have our perfect little area for her, but she'll be sitting here in 1 second. We've got Josh in the engineering booth. Hello, Josh.
What's going on, Ronnie? How are you?
Until the rest of the folks get here, I'm going to I'll talk to you about the show because me and you, we could gossip if necessary. Josh is like a sports fan, but he knows the business.
Absolutely.
In fact, he does a sports show with Bonnie Jill, who was on VH1's Basketball Wives last season. So he knows what he's doing.
I know exactly what I'm doing. Thank you very much.
Did you like the song we chose to start with?
I love that song. And actually, Ronnie, you told me 1985. I gave Ronnie a list of songs. He picked this song out. I'm glad he did it because it was my favorite out of all the ones.
Yeah, it's jamming, right? And that's the thing. My only thing was it was the context of Karen. You know, Karen Huger, Josh, I'll let you know, Karen Huger is of the older, classier aspects of this show. And I never liked that to get lost. And I was thinking, wow, let's take a trip down memory lane and understand what was popping, I guess you would say, in her 21-year-old days. You know, I know some of the cast members are older than 21, but we have some that are really, really young. And it's just like, you know, what songs are popping for you at your 21 were not the same songs that were popping at Karen Huger's 21.
Oh, it's a different world right now.
I mean, could you imagine Karen Huger, as 54-ness as she is, dancing to like Little Yachty or something because that's what was hot at 21. It was the context I just wanted to show you. Anyways, and also our other host, DJ Richie Sky, is still booked and busy, and he'll be back here with us next Monday. So, of course, we all miss him. I want to talk about the wig shift that's heard around the world, but that'll come up later. And Sad, Simple, and Dumb, we'll, of course, get into that. And we do have a clip that I wanted to show you. And also, in our news and gossip, Candace sent me a video clip, too. So we'll take a look at that. That's really fun. And she's dressed very nice in Chanel. I don't know a lot about fashion, but the way she rocked this Chanel, it's like a, I don't know, it gives me this Ivy League look. Josh, you know how you could respect somebody and not even, it's not your look. Like, I don't really understand all the high fashion stuff, but like, you just know when you see it.
Yeah, that, and also I think it's something with confidence. I think if someone wears something with confidence and they exude it, like, you know, with their vibe, I'm a big person on vibe. So like, if you walk into the room and you own what you're wearing, right, no matter what it is, to me, it can be high class, it can be whatever, I automatically respect you.
Good, because we want to get to that clip. That's going to come up in our news and gossip. And Candace sent that to me today, and this is a reply to information about her home. So it's really, really good. We'll do that in a bit. Let's talk about yoga. So With the first scene, Josh, we have a yoga sit down between Ashley, young Ashley, who's been on the season for 3 seasons now. She's meeting up with Candace and Giselle. So one of the things that was interesting about this is Ashley has been going through the marital issues, and we know that, but she lent some information today. She lent some information saying that, you know, when she was going through her relationship struggles with Michael, that yoga was something that she turned to. And at first I thought, well, this is just something that, you know, everyone does. You know, you go to yoga or you go to fitness or whatever when things are hard. But she actually is training to be an instructor. So I guess within that, that'll be about 200 hours worth of, training or whatnot. And I think it's a good thing for her. Josh, to give you the backstory on Ashley, she's young, she's vibrant, she's performed in, you know, pageants before. She gets herself into some mess, but also like very resilient. And I think when you find somebody who's so jumpy like that, in a good way, Ashley is jumpy in a good way, isn't it the best thing? You're a big fitness guy.
Yeah.
To turn to something like yoga, right? To piece you out, I guess?
Yeah, honestly, and she sounds self-aware. Like, you know, I don't watch the show, but just based off of how you described her, she, you know, seems self-aware where she needs to be tamed and calmed down a little bit. And yoga's a great thing to do. Also, meditation. I don't know if they kind of go hand in hand, but I know that yoga probably is a form of meditation. It's a nice way to relax. It's a nice way to, I wouldn't say get in shape, but, you know, be one with your body. So that is something I would suggest.
Anytime you can find your spiritual connection, especially during the drama, is good. And, you know, what's even better about that? Ashley got to show the girls that she was, in fact, oh, hey, we have Nigeria coming on in. Nigeria, have a seat. We got to see Ashley talking about how it was so important to her, but she also got to bring the other women involved. So Candace comes to see Ashley along with Giselle, and we're having this moment that they basically, hey sweetie, how are you?
I'm good. How
nice
are you?
To see you. We have this moment where they're kind of connecting and learning, you know, each other, because I guess at this point Candace has not met Giselle.
Yeah.
What was your initial reaction to the meetup and even just Ashley kind of getting them together?
Initially I felt like it seemed like they, I want to see where this goes. It looks like Candace had, she might be able to make Giselle warm up to her. I don't know, but the whole meetup, the whole game and everything, I think it was a bit much. I mean, maybe they could have done lunch or got some wine or whatever, but like, it was a lot.
There was a lot of booties in the air. I think Giselle said, oh, this is the first. Come on, Ashley, you've been wanting to have my butt behind in your hands for a while or something
like
that.
Oh, yeah. And Ashley, I think she, did she mention that she has her certificate now?
I was commenting prior to you getting here. Yes, she is working towards the 200 hours supposed to get.
Yeah.
And I was telling Josh, our engineer, that like it's so beneficial when you have drama in your life to turn to like a spiritual practice or meditation or yoga.
Absolutely. And yoga will definitely help you get aligned.
Yeah.
Definitely will.
And we're still talking with Josh, too, because he's our great engineer. One of the things, Josh, to let you know about Ashley is she's doing all the right steps this season. Like, she's not just doing this yoga thing, but she's doing therapy as well.
She is. That's amazing. I think that's amazing. Like I said, I'm an advocate for therapy. The one thing that I'm noticing about Ashley's whole, her, with her mom, what is going on with it? I'm starting to get, like, a vibe from, like I said in previous episodes, I feel like her mom feels maybe defeated. And it also seems like a little bit of a leechy vibe. I don't know. That's just what I'm picking up on from her mom. That's just
true.
My opinion.
And we'll get more into that when we talk about Michael and Ashley. Let me save my thoughts for that, because I do agree with you.
Okay.
And secondly, shout out to our people that are checking us out on iTunes and of course, the YouTube and all that stuff. We'll do some shout outs later on in the show. And again, recapping, Richie's not here right now, booked and busy. I'm telling you, he's probably getting casted on a Bravo reality show as we speak.
Okay.
And even yourself, for the iTunes people who aren't looking at Nigeria, you look like you came straight from the set of a Jennifer Lopez music video. And you know how I love Jenny Lowe. So.
Oh, my God. That's amazing, because honestly, I was like rushing. It's traffic. It was a huge accident. I'm like, Jesus, how convenient.
Well, we're glad that you're here. One of the key things, we'll get out of yoga here. One of the key things with the yoga thing is it starts to open up this conversation of maybe Candace speaking about her man.
Yeah.
And then I think just by the nature of that conversation, it turns to this brown penis thing that keeps coming up.
She just kind of blurted that out.
Well, like, I rewatched it because I wanted to be very specific. You know? I think what had happened was Candace blurted it out to Ashley and Monique. So then what's weird about it is, because later in the episode it's made to be a big deal, I rewatched it to be specific. What I think is happening is she spouts out other things that are sort of like eye-catching or, TMI. So she didn't necessarily go there. But when you start to open the conversation that open, you know when you talk to people.
Absolutely.
Then your friend next to you isn't going to know that it's not off limits to say, oh, and she also said he has a brown penis, right?
Yeah, I get where you're going.
So I'm just trying to understand and defend everybody in the situation because there was nothing wrong with it. It was funny. Did you think it was TMI? I know you love the Candace. I know you.
Well,
she's my friend of me. I actually do like Candace
a lot. I like Candace. You know, I'm getting... Yeah, I'll touch on that. But I think it was too much. It was funny. It was cute. But now it just keeps coming up. And it's kind of cringy. Like, every time I hear her say it or I hear one of the ladies bring it up to her, I, like, cringe a little bit. It's like, do we need to know that?
Yeah.
I guess. Like, you know.
Yeah. It's fun. It's playful. And it is Candace's personality, which is what we love about her. Candace is super bubbly. And I think sometimes, you know, if you're going to go there, it can go to places such as... You know what? I don't know. It could just get a little sticky. It's kind of like when you talk to people. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation. Like, if you talk to people and you let them know good and clear, I don't really want you to be dramatic around me or curse around me. Mm-hmm. People start to treat you in that way. They start to walk that line with you. So what I'm saying about her is it's not a problem that she's being too TMI, but you can't, on the flip side of it, be like, oh, why are they all in my business? Do you see what I'm saying?
Of course.
You know, because I do that with people where I'm like, I'll look at them. I'm like, excuse me, with the sailor mouth. Like, this is, let's say we're at a school event or a function. Like, I just want to try my best to hold myself with a different level of etiquette, as the show says. So it's one thing that I've always learned, even with myself, when I treat people a certain way. I'm like, Ronnie, if I let people in, because I'm very mouthy. I'm like Candace in 2.0, you know? I talk about, I mean, the inner crevices of all of my body. I mean, I'm a nasty boy. But what I am saying is, like, if you start to do that, then you invite a lot to the table.
You do. You open that door.
You know what table and door and home that I really enjoyed? I like seeing Karen with Raven.
First of all, let me just say one thing about Miss Karen, honey. Karen is giving me all of 25-year-old body, and I'm loving it. Karen is Karen. That's my girl. But yeah, I agree with you. I love seeing those two interact.
It's just to go off that, it's funny you mentioned 25-year-old Karen body. Do you know, we kind of switched it up because you know, you were coming from the J-Lo set, and Richie's getting booked on a Bravo show. So I was by myself, and me and our engineer, Josh, we were like, oh, let's pick a song. Because Karen is our nice and aged beautifully 54-year-old.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, let's take some context to what that means. So, Nigeria, before you got here, we actually played You Spin Me Right Round, Right Around, you know, that song, because that song was how old, that song came out in 85, which was when she would have been 21 years old. So sometimes I think we forget with this show, like everyone was like, who's going to pop off? Who's not going to? It's like, let's remember, Karen has been doing these reads for mad years. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I agree.
That was funny.
That's amazing.
The Raven thing is great. And I think Karen said that it makes sense because it's been a tougher time. And, you know, if some of her bonds have been deconstructed, it's so amazing that Raven's has been stronger, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're learning each other. Like, they're learning that. You know, Karen assumes, I'm just going to go to the campus. Mm-hmm. You can't always just go to the campus, you know?
You can't. Yeah, exactly.
Any other thoughts on that one in particular? Because I want to move on in a second to the Candace, Chris, and some of the prenup stuff that they're talking about.
Let's get right into it.
Prenup came up earlier in the episode. I believe it was also at yoga. But it does transfer over to... It transfers over to a lunch. I think it was a lunch date.
It was lunch,
with Chris and Candace. What was your general reaction to the word prenup and to their circumstance and everything? How did you feel?
Well, his viewpoint is basically, you know, his perspective is like this. No, I'm not trying to be a leech. No, I'm not trying to... I'm not with you for money. If I came in with nothing, I'm going to leave with nothing. I think I specifically remember him saying that verbatim.
Yeah, I wrote it in my notes, too.
If he came in with nothing, he's going to leave with nothing. Okay, that's fine. However, Now, how far can I go into this whole Candace and Chris thing? Because I...
As much as you want. Okay, okay. The one thing about Candace, and I was going to tell you also, for those who missed our other program, we had Giselle on our show just this Thursday in studio. So, so good. That's a glory for me because I do love you, the Giselle. I also like a Kenya Moore. I like all that.
I love Kenya, honey.
But we are friends with Candace as well.
Okay. I think that here's another example of her with TMI. Okay, she told all of the girls how basically her mother is financially providing. And it puts Chris in another situation where it looks like, well, what? He has his restaurant going for him, but then it's just like, what up? Your mother is providing for you too? Like, what is going on? She's paying for the wedding. Isn't she paying her bills as well, or some bills?
There's aspects of that. And the prenup comes up. And what's funny is he quickly was like, oh, prenup, no problem, I'll sign. And so then that makes me wonder, like, okay, how does it work? Let's talk. As the great McCall Hall always says, she's an AfterBuzz host, let's have a transparent conversation. So it's not really going to ever be the issue, like, if you're the person who's coming in with nothing, leaving with nothing, you're going to sign anything because you only have opportunity to grow. This is just worst case scenario. This is just, you know, taking the love out of it, which, of course, we don't want to, but we have to be real in this life.
Exactly.
So it was weird that I don't know how I'd actually be curious to have Candace tell us later on, like, how the real conversation went, because the edit was really weird. It only showed him saying, no problem, I'll sign it.
Exactly.
And to me, I'm like, well,
how did you guys get there?
And also, that implication would make it like he's the one balling out of control, and she's the, you know, the one, and that's not the case.
And it's not the case at all.
So I was unfairly edited, I felt, in my heart, that I wanted to know how Candace really felt about it. She addressed it, he said how he felt, but we didn't get to hear her saying much of it. I mean, she did touch on it in the confessional, saying, I don't want to think about prenups when love, but I don't think anyone wants to think about prenups with love. I mean, that's the age-old question. We are in a tough time right now, you know?
But it's something smart that you have to keep in mind, I mean.
So would you do it? Is that too transparent?
No. Would I sign?
Yeah. If you had the money, so you just walked off the J-Lo set, now your career just explodes starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you see some thing you're dating that you enjoy, but this person, you know, doesn't have a pot to piss in, which is actually fine, by the way. I'm not saying if you haven't rose to an occasion. Money does not dictate great character. But I'm saying, would you be a little worrisome, even though you love this individual, where that could go?
Absolutely. Because I feel like, I mean, yes, in matters of the heart, but you also have to be smart. You have to be logical. If you're being logical, you're going to make sure that all your ducks are in a row. You're not going to set yourself up and put yourself in a position to be, I don't know, financially destitute, or to have someone come into your life and just shake everything up and leave with everything because you were so in love and all you could see was the good things and you didn't see this coming. And not to say too that you're supposed to look for that or that you're supposed to expect that, but you have to be smart in matters of money.
This is why I think Candace is actually really good for the show. I still have problems with, like, enjoying Monique. But we'll get to that. But what's good about it is, and I will say, I'll admit my faults. Even in my vision of how I judge these things, it's like, I always, of course, love a Karen. I love a Giselle. I love a... Charisse was giving me a lot of great stuff today, too. But with that said, a lot of times we go through things as people and we get to a certain age. We're way more wiser, yes.
Yeah.
But we're also standoffish, or our walls are up, or this, that, and the other. And so what Candace, I will give you this for sure. She does give a complete sense of, like, I am starting this life right now. You know, not starting, but, you know, she's a younger 20-something-year-old girl. I don't think she's much older than 23 or something. Maybe
she's
28.
Like 28. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even so.
Around really, Ashley's age.
And it's that really great experience. Josh, you've met people like this. It's actually rewarding sometimes to meet people that are, like, 28 years old because they haven't had enough negative
stuff.
Well, they haven't had things that knocked them down enough, so they're completely, like, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and that's a good thing. You know, that's kind of how I see it. But we could go on and on about them, but that I think was something we should look out for, is who's going to sign the prenup, or is there not going to be a prenup? Does she feel it's necessary?
Chris is just looking bad. I don't know. Oh. He's just looking bad to me.
What are you talking about? Physically or?
No, not physically. No. Not.
Is he your type? Would you give him the business?
No. Oh. How old is Chris?
I asked you one question. I don't know how old he is.
No.
He's honey. A Magnum guy. That's what we learned today.
Oh, okay. That's nice for him. But he has this, and I don't know if it's the storyline. I don't know if it's the way that it's edited. I don't know what's going on, but I don't know if it's like the edits or whatever are making him seem like less than, for lack of better words. But he has this restaurant, and you would think like, okay, he's this powerful guy and he has his own stuff going on. However, in the whole dynamic with Candace and Chris and her mom is the umbrella and her mom is basically taking care of those two. And he's the man. And yeah. It just doesn't look good to me.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we'll move on from that. Let's go to Monique's home, which of course we all like her beautiful home. Charisse comes to visit. I will say, and me, yourself, I think, Richie, last week, we all said, I don't know what it is, but Charisse is like back in full effect. I mean, it's like the moment I counted her out, she gave me, what is she, this episode, she said, she looked at the invitation and she said, is this for like a child's party? Like, she said that, I mean, just every zinger that like that she did. Felt right, you know, yeah. And it doesn't showcase that Charisse is mean or aggressive, to me at least. It just showcases she's very present. Like,
yeah.
I think we have a really weird society that we're, like, so focused on trying to be sweet and nice that we're actually not nice to people. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And just because, like, we've had differences of opinions, and we've called each other out. And it actually makes me, in my notches of life, I'm like, oh, me and Nigeria are closer friends because of that. What to me is a little bit shady is just, yes, Andy, yes, Nigeria, that is not how you get along. Mm-hmm. And I think Charisse, this season, Shasha, she's doing it for me.
She is. It's like the little cameos that she's doing. And she's coming in, and she has such a presence. It's making her more likable.
Yes.
Versus her always being there. And when she was always there, it was kind of like, it wasn't this presence that she brought.
Well, Richie made a good point last week. He said maybe it has to do with the pressures of the divorce and where she fit in. And so now that she's just getting her, you know, she's on season, but she's not part of the main cast. Like, maybe so much more room to breathe.
Yeah.
Hey, our engineer, Josh, can you put a little note on our time left? Because I got a lot more to cover, but I also want to be aware of how much more we have to go.
I'll give you a timer.
And then we're going to run a clip that I'll toss to Josh in a second, but that's coming up.
Okay.
One thing that was interesting. Okay. What don't you like about Monique? Is that too open-ended of a question?
Kind of. I don't know. I'm not feeling Monique. I'm just not. I agree with a lot of things that were said in our interview. I think
with Giselle last Thursday.
With Giselle, I think she is the come-up girl. I think that...
Y'all hear what she just said? Somebody came out of their shell today.
I think she's the come-up girl, and I think she needs to own it. And I don't know. Monique just does, she just rubs me the wrong way. Monique seemed a little pugnacious. She seemed a little confrontational. She seems like she's always ready for a fight, you know?
Right.
And I don't
Monique
like that vibe.
Always seems ready for a fight?
Absolutely.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, and it's going to be a weird episode, and we'll have Richie here next week, which will be exciting. Because Richie, I think of the three of us, really rocks hard with Monique.
He does.
More than us. And we've had moments. Like, I'm always sympathetic of the miscarriage. Yeah. I'm always sympathetic of what's going to happen with the automobile accident. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't exclude certain things that she does that I've had a hard time getting into. And we, of course, talked to Giselle. She was in studio with us. Great interview. I'll run a clip from that in a bit. Mm-hmm. But what is interesting to me, why I have a hard time with Monique. For one, the way, it wasn't what happened with the mother-in-law, but the tackiness of the way it was given really didn't make me comfortable. Because you just got to think, like, if you have a son and your son goes with this woman and for I don't know, it's not, it just, it, I felt hurt for the mother, her child, you know, being sort of taken away in such a way, and then Monique being really like, you know, spicy about it, you know, like, ha ha
That's
ha.
That's the
ha,
thing,
ha.
Her whole attitude towards it. Now, granted, there are some situations where the mother is just being overbearing and she just doesn't like any woman in her son's life because she's overprotective. And some women may feel threatened or feel like, oh, she's taking my son away. However, in that situation with Monique, her whole response to Chris's mother was like dismissive, almost as if she didn't care enough about him not speaking to her or their relationship being in some way damaged because of Monique.
Right. I feel, okay, so here's my issue. So, oh, and I wanted to go back to this. I think this is now two episodes ago. I wasn't real, this to me was not fair. So I was trying to do a little investigation, and let me tell you something. I don't have the time. I don't have the time to do as much as the people who are running the boss squad, shigamaga, whatever that is going on. And I'm going to tell you what I feel like is happening. I feel like the people in that camp are getting extremely gassed up because you've got someone like Karen who is living her best life. She is from Potomac. She has been divorced. She has been successful with the Black Bill Gates. And now things are falling. And we all know Karen will rise yet again. Mm-hmm. Giselle, same thing. All these real life things. So, I mean, to a degree. But Karen and a Giselle, or let's say like a Kenya Moore, or like, you know, the stars of the show.
Absolutely.
They don't have time to create a person in their camp to run a faux site Instagram that you're associated with but not associated with. So I just, listen, this is the part I'll defend Monique because I always want to be fair. And since Richie's not here, I'll try to be the defensive part of it.
Okay.
If it is a faulty thing and Monique has nothing to do with it, then Robin would have been in the wrong. But it's looking more and more like Monique is part of this boss thing that she's trying to perpetuate as her brand. And the problem with people, I got to tell you, and I've been in this business since 2001, so I will tell you what I feel. You That's can't right. be, and I'm also very loving. I am really a darling.
That's right.
Two layers, baby. You can't be so in tune with your brand and not be in tune with your own identity. And I think that's where we're having a problem as a viewer. For Ronnie. Like, I'm speaking for myself.
That was some real stuff. That is true.
Well, I've been broken quite a bit, baby.
That
so.
Is true.
And I've also had successes. I've been on television like five times, like six shows. It's none of that stuff matters. That's why I judge it as I judge it. But the point is, she's running this thing, because let's say she doesn't do the boss Instagram. The first thing about the boss Instagram, before I leave this, do you remember back in the Basketball Wives days when Evelyn and I think Jennifer clocked, I think it was Mika Claxton, because at that time she was one of the newer Basketball Wives trying to get her shine.
Oh,
and she would hire people to like film her and, you know, create a blog around her, create a sensation. It is so funny how a couple years ago you were allowed to be clocked for like kind of being whack. Like,
whack. There's the word.
And I'm not calling Monique whack, but it's. You're doing what?
I'm calling her whack.
Oh! Oh, they went. She came to play from the Jennifer Lopez music video. I see. It's rubbing off. But you see, that's, and I'm going to say it all with love. That is, I guess, some of the issues we should really worry about. Josh, does this make any sense to you?
Just what?
Okay, so back in the day when social media was becoming a thing, there was a show called Basketball Wives. And all the, let's say, the top tier Basketball Wives cast members, they would call out the young girl who would, she had hired people to photograph her. She hired these PR people to push. She hired this phony blog or whatever the case to try to like make her namesake. And back in that day, the climate has changed, of course. You were able to kind of be, you kind of looked thirsty to do that. But what's weird to me now, I'm not knocking anyone trying to build a brand, but nowadays you do that exact same thing and it gets all these people who aren't seeing the true story, they're falling for the phony
acceptable hype.
That's what I meant to say.
I feel like people know it's hype, though. I don't think people care as much anymore. That's my opinion, at least.
So, if somebody creates a fake, not a fake blog, but a thing and creates phony hype, you're saying people accept it better or they don't?
I mean, I expect celebrities to do that, to be honest with you. At this point, with Instagram, I expect them to buy followers. Twitter,
they
I expect
do.
You to buy followers.
They do.
That's part of the game right now.
Absolutely.
As many eyes and ears on your likeness, as Kevin Undergaro would say. It's a part of the game.
That's true.
But you don't think there's a tackiness to it on certain levels?
Listen, it is tacky. I'm not disagreeing with that whatsoever. But I don't think it's as frowned upon because so many people are doing it that when someone does do it, people are like, yeah, you know what? It is what it is. That's part of the game.
And the good and the goods and bads of it are, if you do it, you got to be willing to walk in that space, because now all of a sudden, because I come again, and I'm only judging how I started my career in 2001. Mm-hmm. I come from the generation of, you actually have to be good. Like, you can't just fake lie to people to create a sensation. But Josh makes sense that sensations are also really big, and they also help the brand. But what you should be worried about is if you can walk through that door after. And what makes me feel like Monique, and we'll be off Monique in a second, what makes me feel interesting about Monique is it seems as if, well, and then Josh just said people like the hype, they don't even question it. And I'm more of a questioner. I'm like, is it whack? Let's, you know, I want
you're more old school though, Ronnie. That's the thing.
And that's fine. Yeah, true.
Because I'm older. Your generation appreciates the talent more, whereas my generation and the younger generation is just more about the look.
Terrible.
Oh, right. Well, and that's fair. And that's why Josh has got a great perspective, because he does a lot within sports. And in sports, you can't really even, well, no, in sports, the hype could overshadow some stuff too.
Oh, absolutely. That's
actually true. But Josh, here's the thing that really gets me though. Whether she's doing that, that's fine. That's what she's doing and it's working. What makes me feel a little odd is the inaccuracy about it. She is a woman who, you know, we don't know how she got her money or whatnot, but she's posing as a boss lady. And that's unfair, Josh. And there's nothing wrong with finding a gentleman who's an athlete and them taking you to where your new life is.
Yeah.
But she's doing two things. So one of the sites and one of the brand images, that's why I'll call it, brand images, is that she's a boss. And I think that's so disrespectful for all the women who are out here being self-made. The second one is she said on the show today, she goes, I have a site. I like talking to Josh because he'll call me out too. He's Josh is like my boy. He's like, Ronnie, but I don't get you. But here's this one. Tell me, Josh, what you feel. And Nigeria as well. Mm-hmm. She also had a site called Not For Lazy Moms. And again, it doesn't seem like it's a fair way to sell yourself. Josh just said people don't care. They don't really question the hype. But to me, it's so patronizing in some way, because you're like, you're posing yourself as a boss, and that's not actually what happened. You're not Bethany Frankel. You didn't do this on your own. And you're posing yourself, secondly, as Not For Lazy Moms, that I guess is a website, when you said you have five nannies or whatever, or five assistants.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's fair to get all these struggling women who are, you know, making $20,000 a year, and they're trying to go like, yeah, Monique, you have the big house, so I'm with you. That's phony as shit.
Yeah, no,
there we go.
It is phony. I'll give you that. It's absolutely phony, but, you know, people fall for it.
They do. It's interesting because you mentioned you love Kenya Moore. I do too. I feel like Kenya's built her resume. I've been seeing Kenya since forever. Since she won the pageant, seeing her in acting roles, seeing her doing so many different things. So she's earned that title.
Yeah.
Now, Monique, I don't even know anything about Monique. I don't know.
Yeah, she's probably fine. I'm just giving you, and maybe because I say it so, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. I say it so aggressively. I'm just saying that for me personally, I like the people that I look up to, I want to look up to them, and I would always be hurt. Like for me, like I come from a blue collar family, mm-hmm. you know, we didn't have money to go to college, mm-hmm. this kind of thing. And so I would be offended if at some point in life I started following a brand or a personality and everything that they were serving me made me feel very connected to them. And then if I were to find out later, oh, you mean your father was an executive for that company that put you onto that TV show. That would hurt my heart, because we just spend this connection. I become your fan. That's what I'm saying. I think Monique is playing these women. She's playing these people. And I'm saying, Josh, this makes sense.
So many girls want someone to look up to. They're looking up to her.
I would be offended. I would be personally
yeah, I get what you're saying.
Okay, anyways, well, that's just too much time talking about that. Monique is beautiful. That's it. She is very beautiful.
She is.
And she's got a great big laugh. I love her big laugh. Yeah. Trying to say two nice things. I prefer her never to come back to this show. Slow as paint.
We need Kenya over there.
Let's quickly go. Yes, Kenya would be good. Let's go to Robin's house. I really liked it because it had all of the women, the old school crew who knew each other before the show, which is very much different than you being casted on a show and acclimating yourself to a Potomac culture. This is the women who were in that culture before the TV were always running. So it was all of them. And I just absolutely loved seeing Robin happy. And
it was such a moment. I felt like Robin is... She was so relatable. For her to mention, like, her gas being cut off, that's relatable. A lot of people can relate to that or have went through that. You know what I'm saying? So it makes her relatable. And we want to watch someone that we feel like we can relate to, who is real, who is not putting on a facade, who is making us feel like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was my favorite part is just the way they joke together, the way they have the memories.
I love seeing those girls together.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because they have a history. Mm-hmm. The shadiness of it did come out pretty quickly when at the home of Monique and Charisse visiting, Monique did mention Giselle can't read. And so that came into Robin's house when they were prepping for the painting party. And so I think the quote that that Giselle gave us was, oh my God, she is sad, simple, and dumb.
Sad, simple, and dumb.
Always want to talk about somebody. And just to give you a little more context of, you know, Giselle, I don't even mention anymore that I like her because y'all know that. But we do have a clip of our interview from this past Thursday, just giving you a context of how fun Giselle is in studio, whether she's on camera or not. Let's check this out. Instead, you know, he could make me up or something. What is happening? No. So anyways, we just wish all that good stuff.
Thank you.
We have a tagline for you. And okay. it is like
so y'all
this.
Are taking away my word on the street.
Well, if we're being critical, I think it's
going
done.
Anywhere. She will always be
no.
Worried. Okay, now go ahead. Oh.
Well, you're going to like this, though. You may change your tune, Miss Giselle. Okay. So, tagline for next season or fifth season or 20th season. Uh-huh. You can come for me, and you may even try it, but there will only be one Giselle Bryant.
Yeah. Play
the music.
Uh-oh. I love it.
Yeah. So we're invested in that.
Yeah. And I think I'm going to... see, the whole tagline deal is they give you a lot of taglines. And if you're smart like me, you just... When you go to read them, you're like, and my green eyes look good, and that's what I said. Like, you do it really, like, stupid, right?
Right.
And... the ones that you really like, you go for. Mm-hmm. And typically those are the ones that they pick.
Let's test you out on this one.
Yes.
Show her what it's at.
Yes.
Let's see. And if she hits it. Because
I'm going to say this for real.
We have a great,
sounds like you said it.
We have a great engineer. Engineer, if you like it, you click the music. If you don't think she read it well, then we'll keep the word on the streets business.
Okay. Business. Yes. Going. I don't have much invested in me being the word on the street. Thank you very much.
I love it. I love it.
All right, when do I go?
Okay. So here we go. Tagline. Season 4. Giselle Bryant.
You can come for me, and you may even try it, but there will never be another Giselle Bryant.
Oh, yeah. Da 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 da
da da da da. Oh, my gosh. New beauty. We could run that out. You know, it's funny when they talk. I love that clip. That was super fun and shows how fun we had with Giselle. She gave a couple, jabs to certain people, but overall it was really fun. And the thing about Giselle, though, too. She, if you're going to judge her on how she reads scholastically, like, she'll give you a read right back based on what you said.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's pretty much all that happened while they're in the painting party. They're getting ready to go to this bubble event. So, mm-hmm. we'll get to that in a second. Ashley, Michael, you touched a little bit on how you felt with the mother. Give me more of that, please, Miss Nigeria.
Yeah, I just feel like her mom is giving me a little bit of leechy vibes or lazy. I don't think it's malicious or it's intentional or even conscious, but it seems like her mom doesn't really want to help herself. Now, for Michael to suggest that she just cuts her off completely, as a only child to a single mother, I can understand why she doesn't want to do that. She's not going to cut her mom off financially completely. However, she has to set some rules. And her mom has to be willing to abide.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, she presented her mom with some rules, and her mom was just completely just dismissing them.
She has
to compromise.
I know they've done this, but it does seem like they need to do less of a rip-off Band-Aid situation.
Yeah.
It takes steps. Like, the first step we'll do is, I mean, I don't know. It feels best to just rip it completely, but maybe you just take them out of wherever they're... Maybe they're living a lavish home, and this boyfriend, I guess, is and baby's father, I guess, what it would be. They're maybe leeching. So what do you do? Maybe we put them in a more economical and practical living situation as a first step. I think it could be that. I did want to make a mention what anyone felt is, did you notice last at the party, at Chris's mm-hmm. 40th, the white party, did you notice that Michael kept giving a lot of support towards Ray and Karen about we want to do what we could help.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, that's okay, right? Or do you
I
feel
think so.
Do you feel in some way it is a little weird? It's like he's tossing money around you know, he's not even close with Ray per se. He's tossing money around, but then he's going to be controlling it with Ashley. While there's merit in what he's doing, I thought that was a little...
That's a good point. That's a good point. I don't think a lot of people really noticed it. But I think you're going to make me and a few other people go back and, and check that out. Because I saw that, but I didn't think of it from that perspective. But now that you say that, it's a little weird. Yeah.
And also when Michael was talking to Ashley, and I don't spend too much time on this. When Michael was talking to Ashley, he was like, it just sounded like, figure this out and then we could get to our relationship. And I'm like, is he saying it in a way that it's almost like, you know, he's, what do they call it when people self-sabotage? It almost feels like he's throwing so many things out to make it harder for them to actually be good together. But I don't, you know what? I like Michael. I like Ashley, so I don't want to spend time on that. And they're actually,
have a lot of good points.
They're very cute.
I'll say that.
We only got about 5 minutes left, but let's do Robin and Giselle. Everyone actually at the bubble party. The only Giselle point I do got to make is come on with that jumpsuit with the leather capelet. Please stop. Josh, when you have a second, you don't have to put this on the screen or anything, but do me a favor, go to Giselle Bryant and look at her Instagram. I want the straight man's opinion on how cute this woman is. And talk to us when you find it. Anyways, last thing, what is your overall thoughts on the bubble party? Candace, full of energy, which we love. Tell me what you thought.
I like that she's always full of energy and so welcoming and so sweet and perky and cheerleader. Is that what Giselle said? That cheerleader vibe. The bubble party was nice. I mean, I'm not just so sure that everyone wants to get down and dirty. And I would feel like I was suffocating in that thing, honestly. I would
Candace, become claustrophobic. Sweetie. Candace always has an opinion back, and I always have an opinion back too, so it's great. So that's what I like about her. But I did not like that at all. And I understand she made a reference as like, these women are more like high tea and crumpets. And this is going to like make them more cool. That's not what I keep saying that. While I like Candace individually, this show is we're nothing youngified. Keep the reason, if I'm correct, is what I feel. The reason that this show is good is because it's a dance. It's a dance between elegance, etiquette, and a good read, honey.
Exactly. That's why I initially loved Potomac. They gave this certain level of class, and it is elegance. It's maturity. And so this young...
No pop-off. We don't want no pop-off.
Yeah.
You don't get points in this crowd for a pop-off. If you want to do pop-off, you take yourself to Love & Hip Hop. That's okay.
I think Monique would be amazing on Love & Hip Hop.
Yeah, who's that?
Monique. She would be great on Love & Hip Hop.
You know what? I like Monique, even though I've had some critical stuff to say about the way she carries her brand and her image. I think Monique is a softer and nicer girl, and I know she could pop off. I just don't think I wouldn't ever want to put her in that. That is a different kind of show, a different breed of women. I just want Monique to maybe start to look at a mirror and see certain things like, you know, oh, okay, I would have never known that could offend people in certain ways because I'm not, you know, a lazy mom, whatever the lazy mom thing. I actually have some great leverage because of my husband. It's a blessing. And I don't feel like she is blessed, but she doesn't. Anyways, I don't want to keep talking about that, but there's a reason why some people don't like Monique. And don't get confused because 20,000 people on Instagram are like showing it love when it's your people perpetuating it. Yeah. Whereas other people are getting checks, you're having your people perpetuate it. You're starting to believe it. It's a very scary thing. Again, I've been in this business for some time. anything else with the way the bubble party went? I thought it was funny and it was whatever, but I didn't take no issue with I didn't like say, oh, Candace, you didn't throw a good party. I was like, it's an outdoor party. If you're coming to an outdoor party, napkins may not be there. I was fine with that.
Yeah.
The food's going to come a little late. I was fine with that. I didn't judge Candace more critically because of that. I personally didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the home stuff was interesting. What did you think about that? And then we're going to run a clip of Candace. She sent this to me today of her reaction of how she felt when they were coming at her for the home and the how much she pays and how much the boyfriend pays.
How the women were, like, interrogating her?
Yeah, just what did you feel? Was it interrogation-ish?
It was interrogation, but I felt like she opened the door for that by sharing so much of their financial situation. I think there are some things that she should have maybe expected that because she shared so much. So they're going to ask questions. Look how they did Karen.
Right. Oh, and another Candace critique I'm going to give. I think there was this level of like, oh, Robin was dead faced to her at the party, and also like, oh, she wasn't showing support. I rewatched about 7 times, and here's what it is, Candace. It's like you don't know them yet, and you waltz in with the, hey, honey, darling, you know, you're doing all the yes, Lord, you know, you're Nene Leaksing it, if you will, and you don't even know them. And lots of people are cool with it, because lots of people, because I don't do this. I don't read people's, I have people that I see every day that are so beautifully big-hearted and sweet and great energy, who I look right through them. I'm not saying Candace is a person I would look right through, but I'll look right through them and say, but does it match up? Mm-hmm. And so I think Robin might be like me. If I see somebody who I don't even know, we're not in that space yet, and you, honey, darling, yes, Lord to the gods, in my face, I'm that guy. I'm really sweet at heart, but I'm also like a little like, what is going on? Why don't you start with a regular hello? Like, it's
two different personalities. I think Robin is more of a conservative type, and I think Candace, it's just a personality, you know?
Yeah. Okay. In any regard, it was a funny outing. It'll set up for predictions or whatever. But real quick, Candace sent us a video today. Thank you, sweetie, of how she felt with the interrogation. If you have that, we could run. It's a minute clip here. Let's take a look at Candace talking about the home.
Now to this commentary on my home. I am like big confused on how this is lost on women who are supposed to have come from wealth, some sort of wealth. My parents are physicians and business moguls, and my mother gave birth to three children who she invested very well for to be able to provide for us, among other things, trusts and an inheritance that I feel like all parents should want to provide for their children. My family also owns several homes and real estate properties, one of which happens to be my home that I live in with my fiance. We pay our share, but it is in the family trust. And it's really only poor dust bunnies who I feel like...
Not the dust bunnies.
So, the saints are telling on themselves.
Okay, not the dust bunnies. I came up not economically beautifully, so don't come for the dust bunnies. But anyways, what I will say, how about Candace and the Chanel Pink? I mean, she's on an episode of season two of Dear White People with the Ivy League look
like
and the
it.
Pink.
I like it.
You did that.
It's cute.
You did that. anyways, that was her reaction to how she felt that they were coming at her. Mm-hmm. And we'll see that. Predictions real quick. Do we have time for predictions, Josh?
Really quick.
Okay, go ahead real quick, Nigeria, what you think?
I think this whole Candace situation with Chris, I think it might blow up. It seems like it's something that's going to cause an argument between her and one of the women.
Okay.
Maybe Giselle, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I think the preview is going to be that will of course hurt my heart because I those are two cast members I like.
Yeah.
Like I like Candace, I love Giselle.
Yeah.
So I don't want that to happen. If it does happen, we'll just have to eat the popcorn and sip all of the tea.
Well,
our question of the day is, you know, what is it about saying it nicely, because we're going to stick in the uplifting moment here, especially this is a group of women and women have had a harder time in society,
and
the treatment. And I just, you know,
absolutely.
I want to make sure that we're critiquing the actions,
absolutely.
But I also want to make sure that we're like, you know what, let's uplift. So what I want to do now, I've explained to you the things that make it harder for me to like Monique. Let's use the comments to write what it is that we love about Monique, because maybe I'm missing something.
Mm-hmm.
I do RuPaul's Drag Race after show, and there was a particular cast member that I didn't really see.
Mm-hmm.
I offered the great chat room to offer that, and they start saying, oh, well, did you know she's this, and she's been involved in this, and her charitable efforts are this.
Mm-hmm.
So all we got to do, let's use this moment to show that, and we'll be all to the good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and we learned that there was a Magna Man in the group, so I can't wait to see what's next. Thank you so much. Outro real quick, and then we'll say goodbye.
Thank you, everyone. Nigera Manal. You can find me on social media at Nigera.Manal, Instagram, Twitter.
Oh, wonderful. She's posted a lot of good videos. I'm at RandomlyRJ, and I know I'm the size of a Buick. I look like I eat my fillings daily. You will not have to look at me next week because Richie will be back in the lead host panel, and we'll all be chit-chatting it up on in the next episode. Thank you to our engineer. That's it. AfterBuzz, goodbye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.